in Ukraine since United Prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, as again we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and truth, the full realization of thy abiding presence remaining with us all way into the end of this age, into the new tomorrows which thy vision and purpose have ordained, with realization that we are members of thy household, that we are citizens in a great nation of thy kingdom, that we are heirs of this kingdom, and you have ordained that thy household, the children of thy kingdom, shall inherit the kingdom, thy administration of the earth, and that thy kingdom shall rule throughout the ages to come. We are aware of the conditions through which we pass as these crises mount around about us. We are aware of the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, and the depth to which they seek to control the great nations of thy kingdom. But our Father, we are also aware of the content of thy word, of the sure word of prophecy. Pray that you shall grant unto us understanding concerning these situations. Thy people will not be taken by surprise, nor will these situations which develop come unto them without their knowledge. We acknowledge, our Father, that thou art God, and that all things are in the hollow of thy hands. And out of guidance and out of the spiritual energy that proceeds both from thy consciousness and to thy people shall come a great stirring among thy people, the great emancipation of thy kingdom, the vital lifting of the powers of darkness from off of our great nation, as this society shall be set free because of the inspiration of thy Spirit. We pray, our Father, for the awakening of thy children out of their sleep, for thy call of spirit before the great armies of thy race, for the standing up of thy household, for the achievement of victory over all the powers of darkness, the forces of communism, and the enemies of the faith. So as we commit ourselves into thy hands tonight in our meditation, pray that you shall unveil and grant unto us an understanding of where we stand in this world of darkness and intrigue as we bring in thy kingdom and participate in these great events of this hour. So we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and thine we ask it. Amen. We turn tonight in our thinking this subject to the headquarters, the national headquarters of the Antichrist. We well recognize that this subject may be by someone filled with speculation. But we point out to you that the powers of darkness, which long have sought the control of this world, shift from time to time the areas of their central headquarters and carry out their strategies for the rule and control of the earth. We're living in one of the most unusual periods of history because it's a climactic one. It's one in which the prophets, in their vision and foresight, as God granted it to them, saw the great struggle for the earth. They saw also that the contest was against the nations of God's kingdom. All the prophets of the Old Testament foresaw the kingdom of God as reality, saw it as men and nations, and saw the struggle for the earth as real. Many people today are very unrealistic about situations like this. They would seek to apply all the processes of their faith and the patterns of the doctrine of their religion to concepts that would relate to the things which God hath wrought for them from the standpoint of their consciousness and their patterns of understanding. The whole areas of religion at times have discussed the tremendous lifting of the burden of the guilt complex for men by the atoning work of Christ, or has pointed out to them in the areas of their spiritual relationship with the program of God's kingdom, the things which by covenanted promise God had granted to them, and their relationship to Him as their as sons and daughters. This sometimes they will discuss. But many times they have moved far out of the field of the full operation of God's kingdom. For the kingdom of God is a definite program of administration and government of God's race, of God's household, and of God's nations in the earth. It calls for the overthrow of darkness, and it all calls for the defeat of evil. But it also recognizes in the revelation of prophecy and in the background of revealed work that there are given strategies by which the powers of darkness seek to control the world. Always this is not involved in the open conflict of armies at battle. It is not always to be found in the solution of the battlefield. Today, some of the most dangerous areas of the design to control the world and rule the world is to be found in the infiltration into great Christian nations of powers of darkness and forces of evil. These designs of theirs are to gain control of the economy of all nations of the world, and having manipulated their economy to gain a major stranglehold over their great areas of industry and their areas of production, or to appeal to the weakness of some men for power, for wealth, or to appeal to their concept that they above all are among an elite which alone have the knowledge or the wisdom to rule the world. And thus it is the power behind the scenes of the international octopus of satanic force will seek to make captives and proselytes out of men of nation after nation and among race after race. And so one of these instances, the design of the forces of darkness under Lucifer's direction is that of appealing to pride and to ambition that in many instances can capture and sway individuals in positions of importance and influence even in the great Christian nations. We are well aware that the strategy is continuing. It constantly is a program of design upon the part of these forces to not only rule the world, but to continue to rule them. We say they have a strategy, they have a plan, but how few people will name what they consist of or who they are. There's always a faithlessness about the they, and yet the forces of the invisible power of darkness that works today throughout the world well know who they are, and they're always worried that somebody's going to put their finger on who they are and start naming them and those they control. And frankly, today in these United States of America, we have a great number of people who represent areas of industry and development who are more lately being made captive by this design to establish a program of world rule under the design of Antichrist. They do not realize, many of them, that this is the program of Antichrist. Many of them are taken in and believe that these are designs for the creation of a better world. They're being told that it requires areas of management and direction, and that they must design and plan for the masses of the world, for the peoples of all nations, that they do not know what is best for themselves or for development, so therefore they have been selected as the elite. Who selected them as the elite? And again you discover that it comes from institutions and organizations that have been given high-sounding names and have been backed by a great number of foundations and contributions that are supposed charity. A great number of them have been based upon the great successes in areas of industry and tremendous fortunes delegated to this task of investigation. And when you get through with it, behind the scenes is the international manipulation of those that were designed to make you a one world, and under this one world transfer its leadership out of the hands of Christian leadership into the hands of anti-Christian and certainly a satanic design according to the blueprint of the Scripture. Now we point out to you that in the past many have thought that they had located the headquarters of the world forces that sought to influence all nations. For many periods of time and for some centuries, especially is this true among the nations of Western Europe, but especially among Protestant Christianity, they were very much worried about Rome and thought that Rome was going to be the headquarters of a world administrative government. It did not always become the source of their suspect because of the strength of the institution of the Church of Rome, but it was because that Rome was one of the last of the four great empires that in the prophecies of Daniel represented world empires separate and apart from the administrative influence of God's kingdom. And that out of such a fourth empire, they thought that the powers of darkness were going to move. They did not realize that there were seven hills of world power that were referred to by Christ, and out of the eighth, and the eighth would come out of the seventh, and it would be the most satanic force which would climax with its defeat and move into destruction. Actually, it was not, my friends, a discussion of Rome as such. For when Christ talked about the four that had existed, he said that one is yet to come, and then there was more that was going to emerge as Christ named these powers. And in the instance of it, the ancient patterns of catastrophe that had already affected world power had been one of international manipulation of insidious forces from empire to empire seeking to rule and control the world. In the areas of Protestant Christianity, many feared that Rome, because of its ecclesiastical strength, represented this source of world power that would rule the world, thought that even the forces of Antichrist would emanate from here. And as we said before, they used the numerical pattern of the book of Revelation that talks about the number of the beast. And the number of the beast is the number of a man, and the number was 666. And they sought many ways to identify this number 666 with Rome. Protestants, with an antithesis against the Catholic area of Christian faith, thought that they could thus label even the Pope and even his title, remembering that upon the crown of the Pope were the words, Vicarius Filii Dei, representative of the Son of God. So they added up the Roman numerals that were in these letters, and they came out with the number 666. Well, this was an area of coincidence, because in this pattern, there was nothing particularly wrong with the words representative of the Son of God. For every Christian also finds himself somewhat in this category, and every bishop of the church finds himself a representative of the Son of God. This in itself was not blasphemy, even though some sought to make or interpret it as such. nor was the church itself, because of divergent views, actually symbolic of the head of the forces of darkness. I point out to you tonight, however, that these fears ran rampant over Christians throughout years, that here was a world power, because this church had autocratic power, had more authority over its people than did any other church. But the areas of Antichrist were not preeminently to be identified with the Church of Jesus Christ. It was talking about the political power of organizations and institutions that were directed against the church, which would design also the breaking down of Christian civilization and the subordination of all the world to the service of Lucifer, that inevitably wants to deface and efface the name of Jesus Christ from all areas of human government. In this instance, therefore, the strategies of the church were themselves looking for areas of program of survival, fearing that a great martyrdom was going to descend. They knew that the powers of Antichrist would try to make war against the church. They had the statements that were made in the 13th chapter of Revelation of an insidious power that would seek to rise to gain economic control over all the earth. That it would be given its power not only by the political systems of darkness, but also by ecclesiastical areas of darkness. And the division of the beast systems of the economy of Antichrist and the peoples who are the enemy of God's kingdom. The false prophet rising out of all that was anti-God and anti-Christ. His manipulative control of economy, his reaching out to make war against all resistance, was anticipated by the church as a point of great danger. As we've cited to you in the past, this was still a held concept by great areas of Christianity, even as late as the beginning of 1935, 1936, whereas they had witnessed the rise of Mussolini's leadership in Europe, and they were pointed out, great numbers of Christians were pointing out Mussolini, and they said, here is the Antichrist, Rome is the headquarters of it, and somehow an alliance between Mussolini and Rome itself ecclesiastically will produce the areas of this catastrophe. Actually, we make no brief for or against Mussolini. Mussolini was the result of an awakening inside of Italy against the powers of international Jewry and all the evil that it stood for. Someone said that Mussolini was an evil. If he was an evil, it was Jewry's assault against Rome that created him. On the other hand, we point out that as far as his opposition to international and anti-Christian Jewry, it was continual throughout all of his administration as a premier and leader inside of Italy itself. It is this same situation that causes all the powers of internationalism to move against any individual that will not give a blanket approval of all of the processes of international and world Jewry. All you have to do today is come out against international world Jewry, the faceless power, the force X behind the world conspiracy, and then all the administrative forces of their satanic power will come against you. Press, radio, and television will seek to destroy you. But I want you to know, as far as God's kingdom is concerned, it's too late for this to be successful anymore. There's a higher power with greater spiritual force that's going to move through the Christian nations of God's kingdom, identifying the enemy, pointing out the machinations of his conspiracy, illuminating the people of God's kingdom, and raising a power that no force can destroy. I want you to know the day has come when the individual who stands against evil need not fear the press and the power of the enemy, but he must challenge all other Christians to join him in the liberation of God's kingdom, which is as assured as tomorrow's sunrise. We're not working by merely anticipation and empty hope. We are operating on the assurity of the covenant of God that his kingdom is going to be triumphant, that America is going to be freed from the power of the octopus. The forces of evil will be swept aside, and as that banner flows free again in the breeze and the cross of Christ is raised up free, America shall be free of all the satanic international octopus of Antichrist operations. At the present time, we are faced with what appears to some people to be areas of defeatism. They see the continual influence, the expanding attempt at international manipulative controls over our society. But they are overlooking the fact that the Almighty God still holds these things in the hollow of his hand, is still able to quicken the consciousness of his people and turn them in a mighty reaction against the powers of darkness. I'm going to tell you, when this nation awakens under the full spiritual impact of what God intends to do, woe be unto the traitor and those that were selling out of America. They better find ships and airplanes to take them out of here fast when America wakes up. When Adolf Hitler rose to form the Third Reich, and we saw in Europe, again, a demonstration of animosity towards Jewry, all the power of Jewish press and all the power of internationalism turned then against this area of government in Europe. Every lie and smear that could be traced to it was thus also with falsehood given a greater pattern, and the horrors that were created by the minds of exaggerated journalism was to set nation against nation and seek to bring a tremendous assault against Germany because they couldn't control it any longer. The moment internationalism loses control of a country, it seeks to stir the whole world to destroy it. Now, this is not a brief for or against the Third Reich. It is merely a statement that all international Jewry and all of the institution and the establishment of the programs of Antichrist wanted to crush and destroy Germany, and they wanted to use the strength of this Christian nation and other nations as our allies to accomplish this, believing that after having destroyed these areas, the taking over of America and the Western world would be much easier. So I point out that World War II was a part of the machinations and manipulations of international Antichrist godless beast Jewry. And the design was hoped for by them that we would be so weakened at the end of such a war, which they had designed to be a war of attrition, that we would easily be conquered by the forces of world communism. The death of Mussolini made it impossible for anyone to anticipate any longer that he was going to be an Antichrist. They had now pointed their focus of opinion that the Antichrist must be Adolf Hitler. Though his position and attitude was not against the Christian church, it was against the enemies of the Christian church. It will always be hard to understand how people who propose that they understand the scripture and the program of God could conceive that those that were against Christ's enemies could be the Antichrist, when the very people they were opposed to were the forces of darkness that sought to manipulate the world and produce a faceless, Christless society. We point now that the strategy was becoming quite obvious. Those that were watching the areas of late history saw that world communism had liquidated more Christians and put more Christians to death than any other political force. Those who wanted students and deal with it in honesty tonight know that world communism came out of the machinations of the political philosophies of Karl Marx. Out of his economic and political design came the support of international world Jewry. We could quote tonight from a great number of documents prepared and written by these people, both in these United States and throughout the world, in which they embraced the fact that socialism was their creation, that communism was their political manipulation, and that the creation of a Jewish-controlled world state is still their goal. We could quote such names as Rabbi Stephen F. Wise, who equated his Judaism and communism as one and the same, and said, "Some call it communism, I call it Judaism." I point out to you that in the instance of the facts which are before us, behind the whole scene, seeking to plunge the world into an area of economic and political slavery under their so-called elite management, is none other than the world design still of international Jewry. I'm going to point out to you that as to the headquarters of Antichrist, there is no doubt that Moscow, which had become one of the heads of the world communist revolution, might have been cited as the headquarters of the armies and the government, the administration of the Kremlin, and therefore the administration of the Antichrist program. This was only one facet of their international manipulation. I want you to know that out of London and out of Berlin and out of New York City and out of Brussels and out of Zurich, Switzerland, more international intrigue has been designed by the enemies of Christ than in any other part of the world. That these have been the headquarters of international monetary institutions, international bankers, if you want to call them that, the financial economic manipulators of the most powerful Jewish banking houses in the world. That these banks have so woven themselves into the economy of the nations, though they recognize no true allegiance to any nation, that they have become involved in the financial extensions and withdrawals of credit to virtually every great manufacturing company and every fabricator of material, whether it be for defense or in any areas of industry. And by this manipulative power and control in areas to even reassign and control the issuance of contracts, they have caused these various institutions to select a so-called acceptable elite leader from among their midst, which must come to their summoning and their beckoning, whithersoever it was. For a long time, international bankers dominated and controlled from Zurich, Switzerland, the manipulation of the flow of gold and silver of the world. From Zurich, Switzerland also, we discover that insidious and unusual forces were in motion. At one time, people considered this the economic financial headquarters of the world. And unknown and strange enigmatic figures to the masses, but known to those who were in positions of power, would come and go out of Zurich, Switzerland. And then we watched it move again. until they referred to the fact that now in New York City, because the United Nations headquarters was there, that now the seat of the control of Antichrist was operating out of here. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. There is no institution in the world which represents more completely the program of the Antichrist for world power and world control than the United Nations. I consider it to be the most evil political world institution in existence at this time from the political standpoint. And I consider any man who would support our remaining in the United Nations is not fit to be the President of the United States. Point out in Newsweek this very week, while reporting to a group of liberal Republican senators whose support he wanted, Barry Goldwater said that he would not try to take the United States out of the United Nations, and only people that were paranoid and had too much fear to live in the 20th century wanted to do this. I point out again that if there's anything as unacceptable to God, it's a mongrelized offspring of satanic lines joined with his household, and that it would never be a clean vessel in his sight. I point out to you tonight that the area of world transfer has lately taken place. I have several patterns of intelligence reports before me, and I call to your attention one of them written by one of the chiefs of the surety investigators in France concerning economic manipulations. And Hilaire Rivera was one of the writers of the report, and this is what he calls to attention. They have been looking for the areas of international world manipulation and control. They have discovered that the areas of internationalism, while powerful and strong in financial fields, has moved out of Zurich. They point out that the man who is one of the most powerful figures in the world is the man who was the go-between, who manipulates and organizes the meetings between Khrushchev or Kennedy, or carries out the projects, or between Khrushchev and the head of any other government in the world. And he seems to set the terms, and then he goes back, and they're acceptable to Mr. Khrushchev, that this man is one of the most dangerous figures in the world. And who would this man be? It would be the foreign minister of Belgium, the Jew, Paul Henri Spaak. Now let me point out something to you, which is a matter of importance from this intelligence digest. It was not Washington, it's not Moscow, it's not the United Nations, they said, but out of Brussels, where the decisions are made that are relating to international world control. We point out to you from this intelligence report of the French Sûreté that Mr. Spaak announced in June 25th, 1963, that he was going to Russia for a meeting of utmost importance. Khrushchev left his Chinese comrades at Kiev and went immediately to Kiev. And there, the foreign offices of Western Europe were informed that Mr. Spaak had negotiated the forthcoming nuclear test ban negotiations between Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Khrushchev. It was also Mr. Spaak, who was the influence and power backed by the International Financial Forces, International Monetary Fund, international banking institutions, that set up the capital of the common market at Brussels. Here at Brussels were set up the manipulative offices of the leading forces which are involved in this economic manipulation. We're going to read unto you the names of the international banking houses that set up and made this possible. They involved in the United States not only the Morgans, but Harriman and Company, the Guggenheims, the Lehmans, Kuhn Loeb and Company, Dillon Reed and Company, and then it was joined by the Sassoons, the Schroeders, the Samuels, the Rothschilds, and the Grenfalls, and the Steins from Great Britain, that they formed the head of the International Management Congress of the International Financial Institutions of the World. The International Management Conference handles all the world's money and all the world's economy. Now they set up in the city of New York on September 16th to 20th of this year what is one of the most sinister areas of international cartel control of all of the businesses and all the enterprises under international control, and the institution is known as Committee International Organization Scientific. It actually happens to be an international organization over the control, scientific organization for the control of the entire world. The American affiliates of this institution, headquarters in Brussels, is the Council of Foreign Relations and the Council of Foreign Relations Business Councils in the United States. It has its British counterpart, and it also has a counterpart in every nation on the face of the earth. The administrative force is, of course, again, in the hands, strangely enough, of Mr. Spivak. We point out that with him is Henry Spock of Brussels, who still stands as the mediating agent in this matter. Now we point out something rather interesting to you to know. We say tonight that without doubt Brussels is standing as the headquarters of the Antichrist international controlled manipulation. That this is the capital of the international labor empire. It's called the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, ICTFU. It held its convention on May 4th, 1962, to May 10th in Atlantic City. Here they created the International World Labor Solidarity Trade Union Obligation Code, in which ICTFU boasted its 141 organizations, were in 109 countries, regimenting 56,477,000 trained and skilled workers, who would take their direction and obedience from their organization and thus force all nations to either accept their decisions and the decisions of this international scientific organization for organization, or else they could bankrupt or control all the industry of these nations and close them all down at their will. Now I tell you again that whenever we have an international world conference of labor whose headquarters is in Brussels for international control of all of the production in all the white nations of the Western world, and they say that they take their orders from the top, and at any time any of these countries or any force within these countries refuses to cooperate, they can shut down all labor. It's time we broke and crushed this institution as we would a spider's nest. I think it rather significant that while we are dealing with this subject, that Brussels is also the capital of the European Economic Community, or Common Market. It is the site of all of the communist governments in exile. For instance, the Spanish government has 600 top reds who were thrown out as they liberated themselves from communism and when Franco took over, and they're all in Brussels operating as a communist government which is recognized by Russia, and with which we even find diplomatic associates out of the New Frontier doing business with them and recognizing that they're going to be restored and returned as soon as the World Frontier's new program gets underway. Now, it is the headquarters now of the Societe Generale of Belgium, which is an international unit of the World Bankers Association. Under the design, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, of which Mr. Spack was the organizer and broker, which met in Katrinka Hall in the Kremlin on August 5th. And here they planned on the program of immobilizing all the nations of the Western world, and they did it under a brief which was drawn up by this organization in Brussels, of which Mr. Spack is its spokesman, in which all the member nations of the world, including this Foreign Relations Committee of the United States, is participant. I think that this takes on added significance when we discover just how far it goes. For the representative of the United States among the diplomats which attended the European Institute of International Affairs, which was set up at Kesselheim Castle at Salzburg, and this was on July 28th, the representative for the United States was Mr. Arthur Schlesinger, Jr. From Great Britain came the representative of the Royal Institute of Foreign Affairs, which is the foreign affairs program of Britain, like your Council of Foreign Relations. And this is Mr. Kenneth Younger. And, of course, this was completely controlled from beginning to end by a whole bevy of international Jews that surrounded him that were the guiding influences of decision. Now you say, what was it they were attempting to do? On September 16th in 1920, September 16th to 20th of 1963, this year, when they met in New York City, they met to determine how to bring about the finest cooperation of all the nations of the world in the blueprint for the administration of the world for all human betterment and how this was to be accomplished. The selection of an elite core from all the creative, productive, and political leadership of all these nations to finally achieve what they said would be an unbreakable enforcement of international and world law and direct administration. This was to control also the economy of all nations and manipulate and control all production and all goods thus produced. Now I think that this is important. I am reading from the program, Committee International for Scientific Organization, International Management Congress for the World, Congress Advisory Board. Among those that are on this board, selected by international jury for the participation, was David Rockefeller, president of Chase National Bank, Charles Adams, president of Raytheon Company, William Allen, president of Boeing Company, Apley, president of American Management Association, Aston, president of Republican National Bank of Dallas. There was Atwood, president of North American Aviation. There was Paul Austin, president of the Coca-Cola Company. Claudius Baker, president of Sears and Roebuck and Company. Beckel Corporation. Bellis of the Bank of America. Bibby of Sperry Rand Corporation. And Blau, chairman of the board of directors, United States Steel. Harold Bleckenstein, Owens Corning, Fiberglass Corporation. Francis Brown, president of Sherling Corporation, sister, president of Detroit Edison Company, Norton Clapp, president of the Weidenheiser Company, and Cordnier, who was chairman of the board of General Electric. Cordnier was also participant in committees. Philip Courtney, president of Cody Company. Donald David, the chairman of the board of the Ford Federation. Ducommun, president of Ducommun and Company, Incorporated. There was Effort of the Burroughs Corporation. Foy, chairman of the board, Copper's Company. Gable, Vice President of Eastman Kodak Company. Gaynor, retired President of International Finance Corporation, American Security. There was Denon, President of International Telephone Company. Gruber, Chairman of the Board. Hardenbrock, Chairman of the Board of National Association of Manufacturers. Higgins, Chairman of the Board of Directors of Norton Company. There was Horner, Chairman of United Aircraft. Houghton Jr. of Steuben Glass. And there was Johnson of the Motion Picture Association of America, and Johnson, president of Aramco Steel. There was also Killian, chairman of the Corporation Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Luce, editor-in-chief, Time, Life, and Fortune. McClellan, chairman of Old Colony Paint and Chemical Company. McGillery, chairman of the board of Procter & Gamble Company. McGraw, president of McGraw-Hill Publishing Company. Muir, the chairman of Newsweek. Delman, chairman, president of the National Cash Register Company. Olvetti, vice president of the Olvetti Company. Overton, trustee of the former chairman of the National Industrial Conference Board. Also president of the Texas Bank. There was David Packard, the president of Hewitt Packard Company. Percy, chairman of Bell and Howell. Plumley, chairman of the board and chamber of commerce of the United States. And president of state mutual life insurance companies. Power, chairman of General Telephone Electronics Corporation. Stanton, president of Columbia Broadcasting System. Tarkington, vice president of the Continental Oil. Thornton, chairman of the Board of Industries. Trite, president of Pan American Airways. Watson, chairman, International Business Machines Corporation. White, honorary chairman, Republic Steel Corporation. And there was Wildy, chairman of the board of Connecticut General Life Insurance Company. This is the elite that have been selected to organize you into a collectivist society subordinate to world decision and world board, who worked on a strategy not only for mutual disarmament, but have been assured that if their companies are going to do business, they're going to have to do it under the United Nations, under scientific international organization, in which they will get perpetuity of their business operations, but a design which subordinates the individualism of every American into a collectivist society with all the other peoples of the world under the administration of this front elite behind which international jewelry has set up all its master boards. This, my friends, is the premise to treason. Now, I point out here that I have before me all the officers now of this international scientific organization, which operates now under the world headquarters for formation of a total world administrative government under a world program of developing socialism and complete control over all areas of industry, all areas of employment, all areas of economy. Now, listen. I'm not going to read the names of all these executives that now form the heads of all these committees. But I point out that under the strategy that the power behind it to set up the conference, the men who directed the blueprint, that laid out the program, and who will supply the finance, are these international bankers drawing on the World Monetary Fund and basically again involve Kuhn Loeb Company, Dylan Reed, and beside this, of course, the Warburgs, the Sassoons, the Stearns, the Grenfelds. And these international banking forces provide the finance and set up the blueprint. And all these great executives are told how bright and smart they are, why they have been selected to cooperate with this. And before it was over, I have the minutes of how this meeting was formed and how these people participated in setting up a program in which no man would be able to buy, sell, or do business except he worked through the approval of this international organization. I have in my hands the Foreign Affairs Quarterly for 1963. This happens to be the blueprint of the policy designs of the foreign affairs program here in the United States. It happens to be the Council of Foreign Affairs Incorporated editorial and world program design. In it we have men like Rustow and all these other writers, and all you've got to do is glance through it to see how they support this creation of these levels of international world organization. They have full organization as total over political and economic life as Rome is the headquarters of the Catholic Church. So now when I point this out, we now have international world socialism with top leaders in the world socialist rank. This Henry Spock is not loyal to the king. He's not loyal to the Belgium government. He's one of the most extreme left-wing pro-communists working for one world mastery of world socialism that exists today upon the face of the earth. And the President of the United States and his group are kowtowing to this little force which seeks this world control as though their very lives depended upon obedience and service and submission to its demands and its requests. I think this is rather significant because it goes on into areas which we're going to point out. Call for now the fast manipulation and implementation following the Tehran Treaty of the total disarmament of all nations. Now, within this instance, it calls for the establishment of a total surrender of arms into the hands of the United Nations Organization to be developed into three fast stages of surrendering of arms. That in view of the hostility of the Western nations to the Soviet Union does not have to make the first overture. We have to start surrendering whole groups of our weapons, military, naval, and air force. We have to surrender them into the hands of the United Nations, limiting the amount of armaments that will be transferred as workable. Then, in order to support the fact that there will not be a revolt by Americans especially. You know what's wrong with you Americans? You're individualists. Your government has been designed around the pattern of creating individual freedom. And also a collective freedom from the strength of individual freedom, in that one stands for the freedom of all and will defend it. The doctrine which they worry about is that you were created in a revolution for freedom. They worry about the fact that Americans, from the days of that revolution in 1776 to now, have cherished their right to defend themselves. You start talking to an American about basic things he owns and basic things that are vital to him. He has his family, he has his home, he has his areas of transportation, and about 85% of them say there's several other things we have. We have our guns. We may not use them very often, but they're ours and we're going to keep them. The international organizations, scientific and others, have decided that this is a very serious thing. That just as long as Americans speak out with this fighting resistance spunk and say we have our weapons and we created a constitution and this constitution guarantees we can keep them and we're going to keep them, and as long as we've got them, no dictator's going to stay very long in America because we'll kill it. Now, a few people frown. They don't like that because that's violent. Well, death is kind of violent in these times. George Washington challenged this nation to never permit any tyrant to stay in power. When I tell you, therefore, that as long as one American citizen still has his weapons, a tyrant who would be a dictator or would rule America for international antichrist dictatorial design is in danger. So when they put over through the Rustow program and these international Jews, the program of the Arms Control and Disarmament Act, which your silly Congress was told was just to eliminate arms and start reducing armament so the arms race would be lightened and so people wouldn't destroy one another with major weapons. The design was to create this institution in America to disarm these United States. Now we point out that the control economic has already passed into the hands of international jewelry over manipulated money. They've had this ever since the Federal Reserve Bank and the agencies which they set up were for. They have had control over and could create depressions at will. They could withdraw the mediums of exchange. They could plunge America from a thriving society of production into one with its factories standing still. They proved that in one depression. Within the designs of also the world plan, the control of economy, now placed into a central international control, would be able to control all nations and make them obey the edicts which came from the top. Note, therefore, that agencies set up both by the United Nations and by this international group of scientifically organized organizations and this international labor program, all synthesized together, said that we must destroy patriotism and patriotic nationalism. We must destroy all standards of advocating patriotism and nationalism. That's why we had a struggle even here in California in the areas of election when one of those that was running to head the superintendent of schools inside the state of California came right out to say, it tells you in Look magazine last week, that he was opposed to all types of indoctrination, including Americanism and patriotism, that this is not a part of the social program of our day. That's according to the world government program. Under this design, one of the most open patterns is the selection of leadership now that will work in areas of religious, economic, and social education. Now, anytime you find world organizations situated in a country like Belgium in Brussels, in which international forces gather from all over the world and pay no attention to its king, are only interested in one thing, how to control the minds and the brains of people, how to make them obey in accepting standards which they set up, religious, social, economic. Now this elite have decided that we must end the distinction and divisions between the races of people and mix and mold and throw them all together. That we must end the separatism of religions and in the name of a common world brotherhood throw and mingle them all together. And they have their stooges in the pulpits in America and in Rome, who advocate that this is the will of God, and now Buddhism and Hinduism can go to an ecumenical conference with Protestants and Catholics alike and have the blessings of the Pope. Well, this is all in keeping with their wooing design to have all Christianity capitulate, but then, my friends, their design for it is liquidate. We point out to you, they anticipate they're going to have a soulless world that has no spiritual leadership and recognizes all pagan philosophies as co-equal with your Christian faith. They work for the day when the United States will no longer be able to defend itself and that this great Christian nation will have to grovel before the powers of the Antichrist and be controlled by the decisions of the masses of the world who move in the direction of this so-called elite. We've named to you the names of some of those that have been taken in by this, like the Rhodes Scholars of yesterday, who are told that their complete superiority in the areas of mathematics or philosophy or whatsoever area they engaged in had caused them to be selected as the young men who would be trained to work for the development of a better world under the leaders of world management. Now, world management and world managers is a part of the discussion at this scientific congress supposedly held in New York City and was held between September 18th and 20th. The executives of these corporations were told that their achievement in the areas of industry, their interest in world affairs, had demonstrated that they were prepared to be guided and advised by these leading advisors, and their contribution in the technological areas in which they move would be a great vital asset to their companies and to their industries as they cooperated in helping to produce leadership for this great new world, the world of the 20th century. The other day we heard Barry Goldwater say that there are a lot of these conservatives are a bunch of paranoids that haven't got enough courage to live in the 20th century, and they don't want world organization, world activity, and world institutions. So you see, he talks out of both sides of his mouth, too. We point out to you this. that within this design, they then cited that since the American citizen, and there exists, of course, the possibility that there will be these pockets of deadly resistance among other citizens, are not willing now to face up to the fact that they must surrender now areas that they consider their freedoms in order that the world might have a better expansion into a better day. So what is the decision? The decision is that we must now work for the implementation of legislation to disarm the citizens of individual controlled and owned weapons in every member nation of the United Nations and in every member nation of the World Organization of Nations for Scientific World Organization. We called your attention a week ago that there was held by Bendix Corporation, an international arms symposium, the Disarmament Control Commission set up by this strange act that passed through Congress, a meeting that was held in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In fact, here they held and laid out the blueprint. I have in my briefcase the total program and what was said and done at that meeting. Fortunately, one of the elite they had there that they had sent for was one of the new elite. They were going to make one out of him because he was a successful executive and he was a minute man, and when he got there, he blew the lid off the whole thing. The other day, Barry Goldwater repudiated the John Birch Society. He repudiated the Minutemen. He repudiated the Ku Klux Klan. And he repudiated all the extreme right-wing organizations. Don't forget that. Well, they were worried about these institutions and organizations because they said their people are ultimately reactionary and might at any time seek to use their arms if their leaders gave them the right signal to establish what they call America's destiny. And they said this is deadly and dangerous and would upset the whole world program. So they set up a symposium of how to go about this, and with certain military representatives that McNamara sent from the Pentagon, with international jury and financial institutions behind it, with representatives of the Anti-Defamation League of the Nibrith and all the conspiratorial anti-Christian forces, and with a whole group of left-wing named known communists, all participant, and the speaker at this symposium and this program of organization was none other than one of the acting secretaries of the Soviet embassy. And they laid out the blueprint for surrounding, as we have told you, five northern states right after election for the sealing off of these states and the disarming of every citizen, to be followed by a general program of major disarmament. Now, that was supposed to be secret. It wasn't supposed to be known, and nothing was supposed to be done about it until after election, except the building up of this organization. Well, now the whistles blow. All the way across the nation, the tapes have gone. All the way across the nation, the bulletins are being spread. And across the nation, others have picked up the story. And as reports and as digests and as the news circulates, there's no way to keep this conspiracy secret anymore. Now, not only American sportsmen and all of the patriotic movements and organizations know this is being planned, but when they start out to find those guns, they're going to suddenly discover that they're all gone. Unless, my friends, a civilian population decides it's late enough, and suddenly they're all discovered quickly. Your right to be able to defend yourself and your family is not only an American right, it's a Christ-ordained right. Who told you if you didn't have a sword to sell your coat and buy one? Don't fool around with swords today. Move to something more effective. Now, it is of great interest that these organized planners have decided that this should be not just done by decree, but should be implemented now with propaganda waves of information preparatory to legislations to be passed for the total disarmament of citizenry of all nations. A little quibbling went on as to whether they should limit this disarmament, as to whether or not it should be permitted that men might be able to keep shotguns for bird shooting, or whether they should eliminate that. But it was finally decided that they're all so deadly and you're not to be allowed to even have a slingshot. Well, you say that was formulated at Ann Arbor. It was continued in scientific discussion 2 weeks ago at New York, and the master plan was drawn up at this international banker-financed meeting of World Organization in Brussels. So it gives us a a new occasion at the present time for the machinations of Antichrist. The other day, the Wall Street Journal talked about the fact that the Black Pope had just made a quick trip from Rome and had met with leading dignitaries in Zurich. And then another newspaper said that the Black Pope had left with a full escort and went down to Brussels. You say, who's the Black Pope? Well, some people have heard about him once in a while, but it isn't often that the Wall Street Journal talks about him. The Black Pope is an international Jewish power of military force that even tries to hold Roman ecclesiastical hierarchy captive. He is also a Jesuit and a Jew who holds a private army and to whom the Swiss Guards answer, that stands not only as guards at the Vatican, but possibly its captors. We point out to you that the recent decisions of the present Pope Paul have not been good ones. They've called for an internationalism of religion. We mentioned this afternoon that one of the bishops of the Anglican Episcopal Church participated in Colorado today, this morning, in a mass. At this mass, he called for a complete and total integration of all Christian churches back under Rome, and then hailed the ecumenical conference as joining together all faiths and all religions in a mighty religious unity for common brotherhood. This lets you know what time it is. We are not at this moment in a point of opposition against the branches or areas of Christianity, but we are in deadly opposition to any attempt to pollute Christianity and dilute it down with pagan philosophies and pagan religions. We tell you today that this Pope is a heretic and is no more a Roman Catholic than do I consider Sir Bishop Pike a Episcopalian. Under this instance, let me point out to you then this, that in comment concerning the visit of the Black Pope, he met with international banking houses directing the control of goods in the common market, and it says he was there to discuss areas in which ecclesiastical and economic support would be united to make all nations cooperate in a level of production that would share work with every man. And yet you never hear the name of this man, and no one tells you who he is. Have you ever just heard of a program so complete that a man wouldn't be able to go to work in his individual trade unless he gave full obedience to this international world organization? That doesn't bother us. We live under the stars and stripes. Though, thank God, we better never let it get that far. But the design is there. And right now, they're going so far within it, they're creating the areas of social revolution until they're telling company after company, if you hire anybody, you better be a Negro. I saw directives that went to companies. I saw directives that went to civil service directives in which they were told to give everybody the examination and hire the Negroes. You say, well, this is, of course, the trend of the administration. Who's running Mr. Kennedy? Mr. Kennedy is being run by the international syndicates of world government who have stepped up various levels in various countries, but who are running from Brussels and out of the United Nations at its United Nations headquarters, the blueprint of tomorrow, and they have designed to make you a serf. The most important area of salesmanship, we are told, is to sell Americans from the program of individualism in private enterprise to collectivism in redistributed sharing. Now, redistributed sharing, that's to make it sound like it would be something nice, individually sharing. They just mean individual and private enterprise into collectivism and mass socialism and communism. Within this strategy, then, we point this out to you. That the Scripture says also, therefore, they would seek to cause both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to not only accept their program, giving assent by receiving this doctrine in the seat of their consciousness and putting their hands to do this work, that no man could buy nor sell except he gave approval and cooperated with the program or had this mark in the seat of his consciousness and the work of his hands of the beast. So with Dr. Swift, they said this has already gone so far. When all the heads of these companies, when they can be directed by a group of international bankers, they can go so far that Congress becomes a puppet. The people no longer have any voice in this matter. The beast is taking over the world. Let me tell you something. The United States is not a nation of the world order. The United States is a nation of God's kingdom. And today I want you to know that all the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic peoples are nations of God's kingdom. It is not prophecy that Antichrist is going to take over all the Christian nations. It is prophetic that the Christian nations, under divinely raised up leadership, shall crush this whole world socialist communist conspiracy and set the world free. That's destiny. I think one of the most amazing things is to pick up the journal of the Foreign Affairs Committee and have them post about it. Have them talk to themselves, these super elites, that you poor little brains could never understand these tremendous problems that they're going to settle for you on a world scale. This necessity of dissolving your independence, of pulling down your flag. When I was reading in Look magazine, the statement of Braden, and how he was talking about how he's a modern educator, and it's in Look magazine, and how the haters went after him, and how they elected Rafferty instead of him. And then he starts to tell that this brave new world must get away from isolationism, must get away from patriotism, must get away from nationalism, and must share that it's just a part of a great new struggle of society to form something great, brave, and new that only his little brain is smart enough to understand. I pick up publications, current magazines and newspapers, and see these people speaking about what they have designed and what they plan for you. Hold great committee meetings and talk about how they're going to reorganize it. I have in my briefcase a newspaper in which a department of your government is now operating under what would be the International Refugee Organization for relocation of certain peoples. We're going to invite the Dalai Lama and thousands of the lamas of the lamasteries of Tibet, who are now hiding somewhere in the mountains of India from the communists, to come over and settle in Alaska. And they're going to be financed by departments of agriculture and international organizations, and they're going to start raising yaks up there in the ice, and they're going to become a competent part of American economy, guarantee their religious freedom, and among the settlers and colonists of Alaska. And that's because the state makes a big fuss about it, they say. And they have also decided that Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, and Utah present also areas in its mountain areas that are in perfect climatic acclimation for these people. And therefore, these people will be given this opportunity, and all of the Tibetans will be invited now to come to the United States that wish to settle in our mountains. You say, well, they can't do this. This is a violation of immigration laws. They can't do this if you let them. If you don't let them do this, they can't do it. But if you just don't do anything about it, stand by and watch like a spectator, they can do this. I think that one of these days you're going to discover the Montanans and the Wyoming citizens, its cowboys and its ranchers, may decide that they don't want a Tibetan lamastery and a Tibetan Mongol civilization established in Montana, Wyoming, or Alaska. But this is the plan. We point out to you the areas of defect. Never have we had anything quite so obvious in the areas of defect. We haven't the time to go into all these processes, but we point out to you at this present time that the President of the United States came up against the congressional opposition to giving $2 million, which his foreign aid program wanted, to Mr. Tito of Yugoslavia. That we were going to give him this to bolster up his necessary program for defense and his arms. Now, Mr. Tito, every time you gave him airplanes or bombers, afterwards swore his allegiance to Khrushchev and how someday these planes would fly with Russia against you if you opposed communism. Now we're asked by the President to give $2 million more to Mr. Tito right now to kind of shore up his arms program. And then this is to be increased. Congress said no. We're all through giving any money to any communist countries. If Yugoslavia is still a communist country, we're not going to give them another cent. So Mr. Kennedy came out to tell the Congress of the United States that he's officially cleared Yugoslavia, that Tito's Yugoslavia has nothing to do with the Soviet Union, is not a communist country, is not associated with a communist regime, is a full and independent society and worthy of our support. So what do you think of that? Well, I think that international organizations of scientific foundations and scientific organizations and all the advisors like the Schlesinger gang and all this international committee, I think they've so addled his pate that he can't tell the difference between a lie and the truth. Now, the president lied to Congress when he said Tito is no longer a communist. He lied when he said Yugoslavia is not a communist country. He lied when he said it's no longer connected in any way with the Soviet program. And Congress are a bunch of numbskulls if they believe it. But now they can officially vote the money because the president has assured them that Yugoslavia is not a communist country. Under the program of the International Program to Promote Harmony and Peace, Mr. Tito is coming to California. He will be the guest of the governor of the state, and he's going to speak to the legislature, and he's going to take a great stand on coming world unity and the development of world society. You say it can't happen here. All right. I only point this out to you to let you know that the international world conspiracy has now focused its headquarters in Brussels. It's setting up its machinery. It designs to control all areas of economy and seeks to so enmesh the American government that I hold in my hands their request for international payment of the gold reserves that they feel that they hold the letters of credit to take from all the money you gave away in foreign aid. And the administration went to, and made a deal under the advice of these Bilderbergers and the others. You know what they did? The President of the United States gave the United States IOUs instead of gold so that it wouldn't hurt him economically before election. These IOUs are backed by the property and the assets of the citizens of the United States to these countries in lieu of giving them their letters of credit in gold, which we actually don't have to give at this moment. Now, under this upset, the head of the Federal Reserve Commission in the Congress of the United States said that now they're pressuring Mr. Kennedy to go all the way on the things they want, or the day of reckoning will have arrived. And when they asked him the other day where we are, he says, we're almost there, and we no longer have control of these decisions. So he said, what's the answer? I'll tell you what's the answer. What America needs to do all over is to once more give their affirmation to their recognition that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. To give their affirmation and the realization that the document of the Declaration of Independence needs to be reinstituted in 1963. I believe that we, the people of these United States, should declare that no one had power to abridge the Declaration of Independence and declare once and for all that we reaffirm the Declaration of Independence and owe no allegiance nor commitment to any foreign power on the face of the earth. I think it's time for the peoples of these United States to impeach the Supreme Court and the President and select those that will take their place until candidates that are worthy of the name Christian American can be found. I think it's time for us to give notice to the United Nations to evacuate that great big grain elevator they have over on the East River. Tell them to get out of the building and get out of the United States. We're all through with internationalism. We're going to take the ground back. You say you can't do this? You'd be surprised what 149 million white Americans can do before they get their arms. I want you to know that as far as these decisions are concerned, you're going to have to suddenly, by popular acclamation, cut yourself free from every one of these satanic manipulations of this program. You can tell men like Brayton and men like Schlesinger and the rest of them, we're patriots, we're nationalists, we're Americans, and we're going to be free. We've been told by the president we don't dare make this decision clear-cut as white and black or as good and evil. If we do, we may precipitate a war. We may be in the midst of catastrophe. You'd better be in a catastrophe like a great war that you're going to win than be in a program of slavery disarmed so you can never win. Someone said, which way is it going to go? I'm going to tell you which way it's going to go. America is going to move like a seething flame of reaction. It's going to move like a great wave of white hot heat. Once more, patriotically inspired, divinely inspired, and giving an affirmation of its Christian destiny. America's going to get so angry that it tells me in the book of Zechariah that the Canaanites are going to take every boat and every airplane to get out of America before it's too late. Mr. Goldwater says these are extremists that advocate this. Now, I don't want them to know it, but I don't go along with them, but I want their vote. Dan Smoot said this week, I don't agree with many of Mr. Barry Goldwater's views. And then he was being pressured to make an affirmation that he might be the best candidate. I want you to know the best candidate for America is one who's America first right down the line. Yes, we have had this identified for us. When Jesus pointed out to John the vision of Revelation that this satanic order of mystery Babylon, this Antichrist world conspiracy to destroy Christian nations, would seek to control every trade union and every craft on the face of the earth. And you look over here in the book of Revelation concerning what the scripture says about this, and it tells you very, very clearly that every single craft, every worker, every artisan, it doesn't make any difference whether he makes automobiles, those are the makers of chariots. Whether he belongs to a pharmaceutical warehouse and he's producing drugs and manufactured items, the controllers of the merchandise of drugs. It doesn't make any difference whether he's working in the clothing industry or dispersing it. He's organized and he pays his tribute to these masters of the union whose internationalisms have now become a sworn allegiance to a world socialist system against the interests of nation, of faith, and race. So instead of you anti-union, I am against any sworn allegiance to any international power outside of these United States that would blackmail and threaten this government to economic disaster if we don't capitulate to international demands. One of these days, we ought to tie a great big red ribbon around Mr. Ruther, put him on a fast airplane, and give him to Mr. Khrushchev as a gift. We point out to you, therefore, that we have reached the apex of these developing events. Someone said, what's there left? Well, in the design of the enemy, the end of your nation, of your independence and your freedom, is their ultimate goal. Your emergence into a faceless society whose offspring will never be identified again with the white race of the kingdom of God. That's the destiny. What's the answer? Defeat and overthrow of this entire evil, the victory of God's kingdom. Someone said, how much longer we got to wait? You're at the end of the age. The earth's shaking, the winds are blowing, the seas are disturbed, the vibration pattern picks up. You move closer to patterns of alignment. We told you you'd move into areas of alignment. Had a great earthquake in the last 24 hours just off the coast of Japan. Its tidal waves hit the beaches of Hawaiian Islands. We haven't a full report of what's transpiring in Japan, but this was a major earthquake on a epicenter value of the 0.9 on the Richter scale. And so we have another one of these patterns of measure. If you've been watching the way the wind blows, my, how it steers itself around. Heads towards our coast, veers off, goes back, cuts back and forth across Cuba, goes through Haiti, knocks down every voodoo house and every pagan house, but doesn't hit one single church. The winds continue to blow, the surf continues to pound, and Castro cries tonight for help. He's got 1,000 victims who he said are dead. Before God gets through blowing upon the earth with the great winds of judgment, before the whirlpool's all over, the head of Castro may be also blown off into space. But I'm going to tell you the judges are still going to move. October, month of great intent. Measures of development in this month will affect the earth for some days to come. So we tell you that the important thing for you tonight is to have faith. Now, what we talked about tonight was the headquarters of the Antichrist is in Brussels tonight. Here's where the manipulation has set itself up with its new fronts. Here the design is to control the world. Here the design is to use a great number of front Americans that people respect to do their work. But they're not following the actual turn. It's being decided by enemies of Christianity, international bankers, communist, socialist, one-worlders who design your rule. And I'll tell you something else God's doing. God's organizing too. He's stirring patriots all over this nation. He's stirring people inside of the British Isles. He's stirring people inside of Scandinavia. He's stirring people inside of France and inside of Germany. And they're looking upon this whole group as suspect. So much so that I saw a secret report from these international enemies of Christianity that as they distributed it after printing it to their areas of reception, talked about the great danger of this rising wave of anti-internationalism, anti-Jewishness, and anti-world institutions and cooperation, they called it. So they said the thing that's most dangerous is that everybody gets together, they start talking about it. You pull into a restaurant and in another state way out in the sticks, and the first thing they want to know if they find out where you're from is how's the war going on down there. See? Gas stations talk about the fact that they plan on moving down by Jordan Valley to keep the invasion out of Boise. See? What invasion, you ask them? Why, the African invasion, they tell you. See? And you go a little farther and they're talking about the intense tax rise and clear up in northern Idaho from Lewiston to Grangeville. They understand that an international financial conspiracy to put the load of the world on our shoulders is being designed. You say, how'd they find it out? Maybe tape helped, because tape moves around a lot of places. Patriotic journal stuff. Well, let me tell you something. God is doing something in your nation. He's stirring the intellect of men. Let me tell you something. The people that resist this conspiracy are far more intelligent than the pseudo-intellectuals that bow and kowtow to this power because somebody told them they were the elite. When an elite core forms in these United States, it'll be Aryan and white, strong and powerful, armed for deliverance. God's ordained it as surely as tomorrow's sunrise. No, we don't live in fear. We just live in realism. We urge each one of you as Christians, stand up and be counted. Oppose the evil. Support that which is right. And don't buy phony conservative leadership that wants to integrate as though it were Christian and wants to subordinate your society to areas of international cooperation, as they call it, when actually it's not cooperation, it's subservience. So in this instance again, remember these words. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.